You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
This morning, I get to minister to you. I'm excited. I've got, I was before Dad even, Dad kind of threw a lot on Amanda and my plate when they left. We have to count on you. We have to lean on you hard while we're gone. Different people were, you know, not able to do certain things. And so before that, though, this has just been rolling around the inside of me. In fact, I mentioned Amanda's going to recognize some of the things I minister on today or talk to today because I talked to her about it even a week or two ago. And I was excited about this, just this rolling on the inside of me. And then Dad asked me to minister. And then before that even, I had this song that's been stuck in my head. I mean, literally for days it's been stuck in my head. And I just couldn't get away from this song, and I was listening to the words of the song, and there it's powerful. And I really hesitated on doing a message like this, but we're going to teach a message, and we're going to follow the lyrics of the song because it is so powerful, and it is such it's a cause. You know, it's what we stand for. It's what we do. It's what we believe. It's what we should as a Christian do and be. And like I said, I hesitate on doing it this way, but man, I just couldn't get away from this. And it's probably one of my new favorite songs. It's called Fix My Eyes. I don't know if you heard this about King and Country. You ever heard the song yet? I think it's been around for a while, but they just released it as a single, I think, here recently. And I'm going to read this. I'm just going to read you a few of the lines, and then we're going to go back over this. And I'll give you the brief history about it. I'll tell you what, you can go ahead and open your Bibles if it makes you feel better to go ahead and do that right off the bat like Dad does, so you can wait 15 minutes before we actually read the first scripture. Right? Okay, so if you want to open your Bibles, go ahead and open them to Deuteronomy 30. We're going to start there. That's going to be a good spot. I'm going to read this, the lyrics. Now, this is mostly the course, I guess you could say, of the song. The verses are just real short. He starts out saying, if I could click rewind and press delete on some things in my life, you know, this is basically what he would say to his younger self, you know, or what he would change in his life, or what he would make his, you know, his life about. And the history behind the words of this song was this band, King Country, they were on tour. They were actually in America. They're on tour. And man, it was a rough go. It was a rough time in their lives. They'd been wore out, wore down. They were needing some encouragement, some pick me up, you know. And they sat down. They said, you know, they talked about, hey, what are we about? What is King and Country about? And if you don't know, it's a Christian, you know, artist band, Christian band, Christian group. And they said, you know, what are we about? What is when people talk about, you know, for King Country, what do they say about us? You know, what do we want to tell the world through our songs, through our actions, through our words, whatever? And so they came up with these little one-liners, and what the first thing was, you know, we want to love like we're not scared. Another line was, hey, we want to give when it's not fair. When it's not fair, we want to give, even though it's not fair, we're going to give. We want to live life for another. We want to take time for a brother. We want to fight for the weak ones. We want to speak out for freedom. Man. This is what I want to be about. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm gonna cry, baby. Okay. We want to speak out for freedom. We want to find faith in the battle. We want to stand tall, but above all, we want to fix our eyes, and we want to fix them on heaven, on Jesus, on God. And that's what the song, I mean, that's it. That's the course of the song. And I mean, it's so powerful. I want to love like I'm not scared. I want to give when it's not fair. You know, I want to live life for somebody else, not just me. And it's a good song. It's a great song. Anyway, so let's do this. Let's get into the word so I quit quoting lines and crying. Golly. Yeah, I should, but now my voice is so crackly I can't sing it. So, Yeah, it does. It goes, love like I'm not scared. Give when it's not fair. Live life for another. Take time for a brother. Fight for the weak ones. Speak out for freedom. Find faith in the battle. Stand tall, but above it all, fix my eyes on you, on you. And it's kind of a really catchy tune. That's what it is. We as a Christians, man, that was just, and they said, you know, at the end of this, I watched a lot of this, and, you know, on the making of the song, is, man, Ty's been riding with me to work, and Cassie, they've been riding with me, to town, and I'm dropping them off at Shirley's, and then I go on to work. I'm working here in town for Bud for a few weeks, doing some stuff for him in IT work, and we're driving down the road, and we hear the song. Well, they just start singing along. They just say, whoa, that's a neat song. You know, it's really catchy tune, you know, and everything. And through the day, Ty actually went to the office with me on Friday. And I'd be working along, and I'd start singing, fight for the weak. He goes, I was about to start singing that, Dad. You know, and he loves the song, too. And now when we get in the car, Cassie doesn't understand that's on the radio. And I can't tell the radio what to play. And she's like, Dad, turn it to that song, Daddy. Turn it to that song. Fix my eyes, you know. Fix my eyes. It's a song I couldn't get away from. And like I said, the words are powerful. And they said, get back to this point, whenever they got done writing the song, they said, you know, if you were to ask us, and it's two brothers, I think, that are the lead singers in this group, Joel and Luke, I think, they don't look like they could even be related. They're completely different looking guys. Have you seen them before? I'm thinking, oh, he just said something about his brother, and I went, his brother? Y'all are brothers? Anyway, but the two brothers, one said, you know, if you were to ask Luke or I about what town, oh, I keep saying town and country, that's a real estate agency or something, isn't it? Or Town and Country Homes or something. King and Country. If you were to ask us what King and Country is all about, and sum it up in one song, it would have to be Fix My Eyes. Because, and he went on to say, you know, their heart's desire was that they reach people and not give them a temporary solution, not give them just a temporary fix, but they wanted to reach people. They wanted to do all these things. Above all, fix their eyes on heaven so that people would see them, see in heaven, and that they would give them an eternal fix or an eternal solution. They'd give them heaven. They'd give them Jesus, you know. And so, you know, I just thought this was awesome. And this is biblical. That's why it's so awesome. You know, this is biblical. The first thing I wanted to mention to you, you know, in Deuteronomy 30. Here you go. Deuteronomy 30. She said she needed a pen. Deuteronomy 30 in verse 19, it says here, I call heaven as a witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. This is we know the scripture very well, that both you and your descendants may live. Now, I'm going to back up for a second. This is, you know, this is God telling us, hey, looky here. This is the deal, okay? I have given you, you've got a choice in life. You can choose what I've called you to. You can choose what I've prepared for you. You can choose all the promises that I've given you. Or you can choose death. You can choose curses. You can choose this land. This came to me when I was studying this. You can choose to live in the land of life and blessing, the land that God called us to and prepared for us. Or if you don't choose that life, you're going to be living, you're going to be dying, not living. You're going to be dying in the land of death and curses. Because if you're not living in God's promises, then you're not under his protection. You're not under his wing, as it were. And you don't have the blessings that he can give to you. And so, you know, he's given us these choices here, it says. He tells us, and this is pretty cool. He tells us which one to choose. He gave us the answer to the test already. That's not even fair. I mean, he wouldn't make it, you know, in our testing, state testing, because you're not supposed to give them the answers, right? Right, okay. Anyway. But he did. He gave us the answers. He says here, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both... Everybody say choose. Choose. It's a choice. Every one of these things that we're going to try to run really fast through is a choice. It's a choice. Amen? It's a choice to serve God. It's a choice to believe on him. It's a choice to be happy when you do it. Yeah. It's a choice to love. It's a choice to give. It's a choice to fight for those who need help, you know, that and give to those who are in need. It's a choice. Life is a series of choices. Dad talks about it all the time. Life is a series of choices. What, you know, and it's not what you're going through and what you've been through really that defines you. It's how you chose, what choices you made in the midst of those battles that defines who you are. Amen? It's the choices that you make in life that define who you are. We were talking yesterday. I'm trying to see who all was here. We did the men's breakfast yesterday morning. Henry was there. I was trying to remember. It was Ed. Ed was the one. I was trying to remember. Dr. Galloway, and Ed, we were talking afterwards, and we were talking about just, you know, how our life is lived and how we are a reflection, and we're talking about being consistent, you know, in church and in out of church, in our homes, in our marriages, and in public, and how we, you know, imitators of God as dear children. God's consistent, amen. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And there's no variableness or shadow of turning in him. He's the same no matter how you look at him. Amen. And that we were talking about how we need to be imitators in that respect of God. We need to be consistent. Consistent in our confessions. Consistent in our walk with God. Consistent in our relationships, with our spouse, with our work, you know, co-workers. When we go to work, we need to be good at what we do, you know, and work hard and work for the Lord. Amen. But we were talking afterwards, and we mentioned how that... I think Dr. Galloway actually brought it up initially, that there was a minister that said, you know, if you want to see the real me, you don't need to come to church and look at me from this pulpit. He says, when you want to see the real me, you need to follow me outside, you know, and follow me home and follow me to my house and follow me to my, you know, when I go to the grocery store. And he says, that's the real me. And I said, yeah. I said, Dad always talked about how... his greatest mission field was his family, his immediate family. That's his greatest mission field. And that the product that we are, not to keep pointing at Amanda because Charity's not in here, and Jonathan's in California, and Jennifer's in Fort Worth, so it's just us two. It's just you and me. You and me, kid. But, you know, the product that we have become is a reflection of how Dad raised us. And if... product of how Dad lived his life at home too, and that's what I was talking about with Ed and Dr. Galloway, Mr. Ed there. My grandfather passed away. It's been 2 years ago now. Yeah, it's been 2 years ago. And he said before he passed away, he said, you know, he didn't always agree with everything that all the choices that Dad made in life. You know, Dad was kind of the black sheep of the family whenever he got saved and started church and all these things. And Grandfather said that he didn't always agree with, you know, everything that Michael Wayne did. But he says, you know, he must be doing something right. He says, you look at those kids he's got. They're all serving God. They're all in church. He says, you know, he's got to be doing something right. You know, he did all right. He did all right for himself. You know, he recognized that there was a change in his life, and it reflected on... you know, it reflected through us. It showed through the children, through us, the product that we became. And so, you know, we are a product of the choices that Dad made. We're a product of those choices. And Dad chose life. He chose to live it abundantly, and he has passed that on to us. You know, it's in our lineage now. It's part of our heritage. You know, we're gonna live. And love like we're not scared. You know, that's what it gets on to this next part here. It says, you choose life that you and your descendants may live, that you may love. You choose life. Now, let's back up. This is just a continuation. You choose life, not death, blessing and cursing. You choose life and blessing, not death and cursing, okay, that you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God. How? You may love the Lord your God, and you may obey his voice, that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers by Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and to give to them. And you know, the land that he swore to those people was just a land of promise. that he had, you know, swore to them. We have a land of promise here too. This is our land of promise. You know, he's given us all kinds of promises. Healing, joy, prosperity, peace, deliverance, salvation. This is our land of promises. And we can dwell in this land of promises if we choose life. Amen? But back up here, the first part of that 20th verse, there it says, that you may love the Lord your God. What's the first commandment? Love the Lord your God with what? All your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, all your being, everything that you are, you should love the Lord your God. We shouldn't hold anything back. Like this first line says, you love like you're not scared. I don't hold anything back when I love God. I'm loving him with everything I have. And then I tell you what, when you love like that, when you love God like that, you'll love other people like that too. You'll love your spouse more when you love God more. You'll love your brothers and sisters. You'll love your natural brothers and sisters. You'll love your spiritual brothers and sisters. You'll love the people in this world. Because when you love God and you have that compassion, that bond there with God, you share something, and that you share each other's heart. You share each other's vision. And his vision is people. When you love God, you're going to love people. That's his mission field. That's his heart. That's his desire. So when you love God and you love like you're not scared, oh man, it's awesome. It's a great feeling. It really is. It's a great feeling. 1 John 4:7-8, and it's kind of cool because I was reading through this and all these old songs started coming to my head. You know, I'm a music person, so, you know, it's kind of how I operate. Obviously, we're teaching about a song, so, you know, couldn't get away from music. But anyway, 1 John 4:7-8, says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, because God is love. Right there. If you don't love God, you don't know God's love, then you're not going to love other people. I mean, you're not going to love them with the love that you need to have. You know, it's going to be more physical or outward spiritual, not spiritual, but carnal, you know, more of a worldly type of love, not a God kind of love. And that kind of love doesn't last. God's love does. Amen? And so if you're going to love, if we love God, we're going to love people. And Luke 10 is going to bring us into this next section, actually, I guess. Give when it's not fair. Live life for another. Take time for a brother. And even fighting for the weak ones. Let's turn to Luke 10 real quick. You know, Deuteronomy 30 there, it's kind of repeated in one respect in Proverbs 18:21, where it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. That's how we choose it, amen? We choose it with our mouth. We make a choice, decide that we're going to do, and that just follows along with the rest of these things. We choose to do things by saying it, amen? We speak it, we say it. We make the choice to do it by saying it, by speaking it, believing it and speaking it, amen? In Luke 10, this is interesting, I wasn't even thinking about really ministering on this particular story per se. It just in studying, I came across. I thought, man, that just fits perfectly, which is just the way God works. But anyway, it talks here, and we mentioned this a while ago. It says that in verse 25, let's start right there. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, Jesus, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, What is written in the law? What is, your reading of it? And this lawyer, in verse 27, he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Okay, and he's gonna go into a parable here of a story about the Good Samaritan. We know this story. We've heard this story before. But he goes into this story, and it says, and obviously this kind of takes care of our first one. We're going to supposed to love like we're not scared. We're going to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our strength, and all of our mind, and your neighbor as yourself. It's interesting that that's the second one, because what we talked about before, as soon as you make that relationship and that love connection with God, then people are the next thing in line, amen? That's who he wants to reach, is people. So we're going to love people, And it says here, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side, staying away from him. You know, he didn't want to have to deal with that. I don't have time for that today. I got things to do. I'm a priest. I got to get to the, tabernacle here and do some priestly duties. Amen. So I can't do that right now. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked, and he passed by on the other side as well, trying to stay away from him as well. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And there's a deep, you know, background for these things, the priest and the Levite and the Samaritan. The Samaritan should have been the least likely person to help this guy in one respect. If you want to go back and study that, that's a whole different teaching. But he says, or it says here, when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Oh, he poured in the oil and the wine, the kind that restoreth my soul. He found me bleeding and dying on that Jericho road, and he poured in the oil and the wine. Remember that one? That's a good one. That's just scripture. Right here out of the Bible. Amen? The other one we passed was that, beloved, let us love one another. That's one of those other, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4:7-8. Remember that? That's a good one. All right. But it says here, so he went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on the oil and the wine. He set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day he departed. He took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever you spend, when I come again, I'll repay you. So which of these three do you think was a neighbor to him, or to the one that fell among the thieves? And obviously, the lawyer replied, the one who showed mercy on him. And Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Now what did he do? He gave when it was not fair. Samaritans and this guy here, they shouldn't have really been even dealing with each other. Samaritans were the outcasts. They were like the dogs, and that's what they called them, the dogs. And it wasn't fair for that Samaritan to give his hard-earned money. And the denarii was like 2 days' wages, I think, was it? Was that what it was? The amount that he gave him was phenomenal. It wasn't like, you know, here's, you know, for us, yeah, here's $5, you know. Make sure you, you know, get something to eat in the morning before you. I think what was the denarii? Does it say what it was? I'm sorry, I didn't look that up. But it was more than just pocket change. A denarii was a lot of money that he gave to this innkeeper. And I'll tell you something else. He had a pretty good rapport with this innkeeper, because he says, if anything, you know, you spend after, I'll come back and I'll repay you that. And the innkeeper let him go. So this guy, you know, must have been a pretty well-off guy. He wasn't just this, you know, nobody walking down the road. This was a high-flutin', tootin' scoundrel that was walking down the road there. You know, he had some money. He was a high roller. No, he was obviously somebody in authority and in a position. And I'm sure he had things to do as well, like the priest and the Levite who walked by and didn't do anything. But you know what? He gave when it wasn't fair. And he lived life for another. He wasn't worried about himself that day. He was worried about somebody else. And he took time for a brother. He took time for a brother. I mean, that just... And he fought for the weak ones. And really, he spoke out for freedom. He needed freedom from, man, he needed freedom from the ailments and from the beatings that he took. He needed deliverance out of that situation. And he spoke out for freedom in that sense as well. But, it amazes me that somebody like him, he wasn't even somebody who had a covenant. This guy wasn't even one of us, you know. It talked about the couple of the people that were one of us that just passed by. They didn't do anything. Supposed to have been one of us. Supposed to have been. But this guy, he did all these things. And that's choosing life. That's living That's living like you're supposed to, right? Amen? You know, it says here, talking about giving when it's not fair. This is another scripture I wrote down that was really, really good. And I've been several messages taught on this, but it talks about in Ephesians 4:20 about the man that might have been a bad guy, might have been a thief. It says, let him that stole steal no more. And let him give to him that needeth. Let him give to him that needeth. Let the guy that's, you know, there's been lots of stories, turnaround stories of people that have been, you know, corrupt and evil or whatever in one regard. Man, they get their life turned around. Man, they're an awesome blessing once they get their life straightened out, you know, and they get turned on for Jesus. And they give. I mean, there's been awesome testimonies of people that, man, they're good money managers. You know, their goods are successful in their businesses and stuff. But they weren't saved and weren't Christians. But they got saved. They got turned on for Jesus. And, man, they started blessing the kingdom, started growing the kingdom and giving to those, giving to other people, being a blessing to them. And then also, I thought of it. There's another one that I thought of, too. When it says you fight for the weak ones, you know, you help them out. You take time for a brother, fight for the weak ones. Hebrews 12:12 talks about how you lift up the hands that hang and you straighten out the feeble knees. And this is the song. I think Dad wrote this praise song. Do you remember this one? I'm going to sing it for you too. You like this one. This is a good one. See, how does it start out? It says, lift your hands and praise him. Won't you bless his holy name? Straighten out the feeble knees. Lift up the hands that hang. And as we worship and adore him, we will never be the same. Lift your hands and praise him. Won't you bless his holy name? I mean, just a simple little worship. And Dad, you know, Dad would play the guitar at the house, and he'd sing, and he'd write, you know, a little song or something. And then, of course, we would all, like we did here a while back, we would all gather around, and we would sing with him. You know, we'd all sing songs, and we would have those times together. And this was a good one. You know, and hey, well, There's something too, and I'm not trying to get off track here, but there's something to music. There's something to putting melody and harmony and tunes to words. Amen. You remember those things. Why do they do that on every commercial? You know, the heartbeat of America, today, Chevrolet. You know, or it's an old one, right? Yeah. Okay, you have all these tunes and ditties and things that you hear they do that on purpose, because if you hear that tune, it gets in your head, and you know, you hear the words, repeat the words, man, that's advertising right there. That's good stuff. Man, hey, Dad, and then obviously lots of other people, they did that with the Word of God, and that's how we, growing up, learned a lot of the Word. We would sing it, and we made when we do children's church stuff, you know, we sing the books of the Bible as a song. Of course, the New Testament was Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Acts and the letters to the Romans. Remember that? Remember the tune? Galatians and Ephesians, Philippians. See, even Miss Kay knows the song. I mean, you do your ABCs that way. And, you know, so, man, when you get a hold of the Word and get the Word inside of you, if you can put lyrics to it, notes to it, songs, tunes to it, notes to it, you can sing that thing, you can remember those things. And that was another one, Hebrews 12:12. You straighten out the feeble knees and you lift up the hands that hang. But that's a commandment. That's what we should do. As Christians, we are supposed to help those in need. We're supposed to pick people up, you know, that are struggling. You see somebody fall, you're supposed to go and help them, pick them up, you know. Fall spiritually, fall naturally, either way. You know, you know somebody's in need and trouble, they're in hurt, you know, they're hurting, going through a time like we're praying for the Mo and Jerry and Rufus in this time that they're going through. I know Rufus is ready to go, and we're just going to believe for a peaceful home going. You know, whenever Brother Dearman, and even those who we're talking about here too, Brother Dearman was real heavily involved in Lakewood Church when we were down there. And, you know, he got his recliner, and he says, you know, it's time for me to go. I think he even called in the kids and said goodbye to all the kids. Hey, he sat in that recliner. He told them all bye, and he says, I'm going on to heaven. He just laid back and went to sleep and went to heaven. You can do that when you're ready. When you're ready, you can do that. You know, it doesn't have to be a struggle and a fight. And I know People go through that sometimes, and it's hard. It's hard on the ones that are here, to see someone suffering while they're dying. You don't have to suffer whenever you decide to go into heaven. You just say, hey, it's time for me to go. And there's tons of people that have done that, and that's just one example. But, we believe for a peaceful home going for them. They're in need. We're praying for them. We're lifting them up. We're encouraging them. We're joining our faith with them, that they're going to have strength, that they're going to have peace, that Brother Rufus is going to have a peaceful home going, that he's going to just say, you know what, it's time, and I'm going to go on, and he's going to be reunited with Sister Mertis in heaven, amen? His love of a lifetime, that they were married. How long were they married? 80-something years they were married, and she passed away a few years ago, and he's going to get to go see his bride, his lovely bride. One of the things he said, that they never fought. They never fought with each other, and that he learned, the most important thing in life, in marriage, he learned two words, and that was, yes, ma'am. And how true that is. That yes, ma'am. Man, it's like love. It'll cover a multitude of sin. Yes, ma'am. Not sin in a bad way, but a wrongdoings, I guess you could say. Not being right. Not being right. Absolutely not being right at all. I was wrong. Yes, ma'am. I should never said that or done that. Hallelujah. Yes, ma'am. You're right. But, yeah, it's right. If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. My wife, I wish she could be here. She's actually had to work this weekend. She's nursing in Dallas at Baylor there today. I told her, I said, I wish you could be here so I could see your pretty face out in the crowd when I'm preaching. And she hates it whenever she has to miss when I'm preaching. She almost called in. Well, she almost quit. This is actually a part-time job that they seem to call her all the time whenever I have to preach. It's like they have this calendar with Dad. They're working out this calendar with Dad and say, oh, Chris, are you need Chris to preach? We need her to work. But no, she was really upset. She was thinking about actually quitting this part-time job, which I would be glad if she did. She didn't have to really work there, but she likes the people there. So anyway, my lovely wife, yes, ma'am. Love her. But let's go on here. It says here that... you speak out for freedom. You speak out for freedom here. You take time for a brother. You fight for the weak ones. You speak out for freedom. We need to be the voice of freedom. You know, so many people, and especially, I mean, even more so today, and maybe it's because I'm older and I'm more aware, but I think I'm not wrong in making this assumption. There seems to be more problems with bondages, we'll say, addictions. There are people that need salvation, not just Jesus. They need Jesus. I mean, they do. They need Jesus because in Him is the answer for everything else. Jesus, we have the answer. Everybody say, I have the answer. Amen. What's that answer? Jesus, that's right. You need Jesus. What you need is Jesus. Sometimes you just need to tell people that, hey, I know what you need. You need Jesus. But, there seems to be, and like I said, maybe I'm just more aware of it as I get older, but, there seems to be more problems with people that have, addictions or, addicting things that grab hold of their life. And that is a bondage. That's a chain that just holds people down, holds people back. And they're not free. They are not free. And not just, drug, alcohol. Money addictions. We're not supposed to love money. We're supposed to love God. God will provide us with the money. God will provide us all of our needs that we have, and then He'll give us enough. If we're faithful, He'll give us enough to bless other people too. That's His ultimate goal there, is that we have enough, that our cup runs over, so the running over we get on somebody that needs something, but people, man, they have they're addicted to money. They're addicted to whatever, television shows. I got a kick. I was talking to a friend of mine, and he was telling me, he goes, and this is an addiction, okay? I'm going to qualify this. This is an addiction. He says to me, he goes, man, you ever seen that show? And I know it's probably one you would never watch. He goes, I don't even agree with blah, 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 you know, certain things that go on the show. And he goes, man, I just can't help myself from watching that thing. He says, it's so hilarious, blah, 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 blah. I'm thinking, what? You just said you don't even agree with the things in the show, but it's funny, so you're going to watch it because it's funny. Hey, that's like an addiction. I mean, just because something's funny doesn't make it right. In fact, a lot of things that the world likes to make funny now is not right. You know, it's not good. And I'm thinking, man, you know, hey, there's shows like that. They draw them in, you know, draw people in to a show. And then, biblical or not, you know, it happens. But we have the answer for freedom. Freedom from sin, freedom from bondage, depression, sickness, freedom from death. We've got the answer. We got life. We have life eternal. It's in Jesus. And he is the answer. And we need to speak out for that. We need to speak out for freedom. Tell people that's not, hey, you don't have to live like that. You do not have to live like that. There's people that have, you know, ailments or sicknesses that they've just accepted. That's just something I'm going to have to deal with the rest of my life. No, you do not have to deal with that the rest of your life. You know, I am not going to, you know, have a sickness or a disease in my life that I have to deal with forever. You know, I'm going to get healed of that. I'm going to get delivered from that. You know, that's holding me back, at least in some respect and form or fashion. It's holding me back. Holding me back from reaching, you know, people for Jesus like I'd like to reach them maybe, you know. But no, you don't have to have, you know, a bondage or you need freedom. You can have freedom, amen? Amen? Freedom, and you can have joy, you can have peace, you know, happiness. Man, happiness, joy is, Dad always says, joy is the serious business of heaven. Joy is the serious business of heaven. You have joy. Boy, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen? Joy of the Lord is our strength. Find faith in the battle. I'm going to try to wrap this up here. Find faith in the battle. You know, there's several examples. We won't turn to all of them here. I'll tell you what you can do. If you want to turn to, I tell you, let's, yeah. Man, that's good too. They're all good. Yeah. Let's just say that. It's all good. Yeah, it's all good. Okay. I tell you what. Turn to turn to Acts 16, I guess. We'll turn there. I'm gonna give you some examples here. Finding faith in the battle. There's a million of them. I mean, literally, there's probably a million of them. We just don't know them all because they're not all written down in the Bible. But we got a bunch of them in the Bible. There's something under a million. It's just under a million. But Romans 4, 4:20 talks about Abraham, who grew strong in faith. He was, he was in a battle. I know it's a situation or a circumstance that's come against him, but that's a battle. You know, Abraham grew strong in faith. This was whenever he was trying to have the child. You know, him and Sarah were trying to have a baby, and he grew strong in faith. In the middle of this thing, you know, they're fighting a fight. They're wanting to have a baby, and God promised them this baby. So he grew strong in faith in the middle of this battle. He found faith in the middle of the battle. Paul and Silas, that's the one we'll get to. Let me read the other one. First Samuel 30, David and his troops get back. This is a great one too. David and his troops get back from fighting in a physical battle, a physical war, and they come back to find out that their home had been raided and they had stolen and taken everything, their wives and their children, and all their stuff. And, man, the army's talking about stoning David, you know, because it's his fault because he had them out here fighting that they got, you know, how that works. But anyway, they all made a decision to go. They didn't have to, I guess, but anyway, they get back, all their stuff's gone, their wives are all gone, and David, boy, they're talking about stoning him, and he is, man, he's weeping over the loss, but it says he encouraged himself. He found faith in the battle. He encouraged himself because he knew that God had helped him win, recover, and defeat all these other situations. He had done all these other things. And he knew that God was the same God that would help him retrieve his stuff, retrieve his family. And he found faith in the battle. He encouraged himself. Now, we know, I don't think I'm out of line by saying this here, putting this together, but we know that David wrote some of the Psalms. You know, he was a singer. He was a singer and a dancer. Wife got on to him for dancing so much one time. Said that you shouldn't do that. And he said, hey, I'm going to dance even more. You know, he'd dance for Jesus. He'd sing and he'd play the harp, I guess, whatever, or psaltery or whatever instrument it was at the time. He'd play and dance and sing, whatever. And so, you know, I can't help but think, for one, he's reminding himself of previous victories. You know, God did this for me and he came through for me in this situation. And he started, I can imagine David just starting to worship and praise. You know, God, you're my God. You're my God. You delivered me. You helped us recover this. You helped us, you know, win in this battle. And you're a faithful God. And you're not going to let us down. And we're your servants. And you love us with an everlasting love. And you're going to come through for me this time like you came through. And basically, he's just worshiping and praising God. And he's building himself up. Building himself up. Building up. He's finding faith in this battle. All right? And this is another great example. Jude 20 says that you build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in other tongues. Amen? Praying in other tongues. You know, the Holy Spirit, you pray in the Holy Spirit, that will build faith on the inside of you. And Acts 16, I didn't even turn there. Acts 16 is the story of Paul and Silas. They're thrown in jail. They're in the middle of this, in essence, battle, I guess you could say. They're in a circumstance here. They've got a problem. They're in chains. They're in prison. They're locked up. They can't do what they're supposed to do. They can't go and minister to people. They're in prison. They're in chains. And it says here, Acts 16, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns. Man, they didn't look at the circumstance and say, you know what, this is the end. We're going to be stuck here. We're not going to be able to do anything. No, they saw that as an opportunity. Hey, you know what, I'm going to praise God. I'm going to worship God here. I'm going to pray. I'm going to sing. And, you know, we're going to get out of this thing. I know God's going to handle it. God's going to take care of this. They found faith in the battle. You know, this is a situation. They had, in the middle of this rough, seemingly impossible situation, I mean, I find it pretty hard to get out of chains and inside of a prison, right? This is a pretty tough situation, right? But it says, they prayed and sang hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. This is a miracle of God. And then the story goes on. The innkeeper awakes from sleep and he sees all this, and he thought all the prisoners were leaving. And he's going to take his life. And they say, whoa, stop, we're all here. And consequently, they lead this guy to the Lord. And he gets saved. Immediately, because they found faith in the battle, they immediately began to reap and produce a harvest of souls because they chose to rejoice and not get down in the dumps. They chose to rejoice and find faith in the battle. And already, before they even get out of the prison, they've already got somebody turned on to Jesus. Isn't that awesome? Amen? Now, stand tall, and of course it goes on and says, but above all, fix my eyes on you. Stand tall. We should not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We should stand tall for who we are. We're Christians. We're believers. We have a God that loves us, cares for us. We have a God that's on our side. We have a God that's on our side, and he can be on anybody else's side that chooses to join up with him. Amen. We need to stand tall. You know, Paul was constantly being persecuted because he didn't back down. He didn't back down for what he stood for, and that was he stood for Jesus and Jesus being ministered to the people, and, you know, healing and blessing and God being, you know, meeting people's needs. And he was going to get that word to everybody no matter what it took. And He stood tall. And that's the way we need to live our lives. No matter what it takes, we need to stand up for Jesus. We need to stand up, you know, stand tall for what we believe in and represent, amen, represent our Father God. Fix my eyes, and we'll close with this here. Fix my eyes. You know, I taught a message on focus, and this is what kind of all dovetailed together for me when I was heard this song and I was going through all this last situation I was telling Amanda about, and I'll kind of just share briefly with you. I just finished college. I'm a returner after a long time. I went back and finished a degree, a bachelor's degree in mathematics, and I am did a concentration in education so I can teach and coach, and I already have a job. I graduate in August, and I've been working on this roughly since about, I guess I took the first time I took a class going back was around 2004, I think it was. I took a couple night courses, and then I slacked off for a little while. Sissy got done with her. Sissy's my wife, not my sister. Amanda's my sister. Sissy is my wife. I know it's confusing. They get mixed up all the time. And I'm Ryan, and this Chris, and that's just a joke. Everybody gets their names mixed up. I know you've never done that with your kids or people you know ever. John, Isaiah, you, come here. Okay, but no, Sissy went to nursing school, and she got done. She started working at Baylor Hospitals, and she says, all right, it's time for you to go back and finish your degree, and let's, you know, get that done. And so anyway, I'm not going to lie to you. It was a battle. It was a struggle. I tried to work a million hours. I like a million today. If you want to give $1 million to the ministry today, just go feel free to. I worked a lot of hours. I went to school, and I took a lot of hours because I'm a sucker for punishment. I took 19 hours last fall, 18 hours this past semester, all while working a lot of hours too. But anyway, I finished, and I am ecstatic, and I'm happy. And something that Sissy would always tell me whenever I would have moments, I never got discouraged to the point where I was going to quit. Never got to that point, obviously. But this is a lot of pressure. And obviously, I was trying to maintain grades as well, and I will graduate with honors. Hallelujah. Thank God for strength for that. But she would always tell me, hey, no, it's just, hey, you're this close, you know, keep your eyes on what the prize here, you know. Keep your focus right here. You're almost done. You know, I'd be sitting there thinking, oh my goodness, this is a whole lot to study for. I got 3 tests this week, you know, and a final next week. And then she'd always encourage me, you know, hey, what are we doing here? What's this all about? What's the end goal, the end result? And she was basically keeping my eyes fixed on the prize. And I remember I told Amanda the other day, I was at one of those moments, and I'm not going to cry. I was at one of those moments, and I looked at, do I have my phone? I don't, it's up here. I was sitting at the kitchen table, and I looked over at our little freezer refrigerator that's over in the corner. Man, I don't know where this thing came from. I haven't seen this thing in years. Amanda, how long ago has it been since you made that thing? 6-7 years ago, she made these little magnets from the church. She made these little magnets. And I'm just going to read this to you. Let's do that again. It just blew up on me. It's Romans 8:37, and it says, overwhelming victory, and she put these words in there, you know, along with it. Overwhelming victory is mine, is yours, is ours, through Christ, Jesus Christ, who loved us unconditionally. Overwhelming victory is ours. And, you know, that helped me get my focus back. You know, hey, God's for me. He's on my side. I've got victory. I can make it through this. You know, I can do this. I can make it through these classes. I can finish this, and I can reach my goal. And Proverbs 4:25, and I'll read through this real quick so we can get out of here. Proverbs 4:25, let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Your focus is everything. And that's what they said here. Stand tall. Above it all, above all these things that are great things, you've got to fix your eyes on God. All these other things are going to take place if you keep your eyes fixed on Him. Amen. Philippians 3:14, we talked about that. And we press, I press towards the goal, toward the mark, to the high calling. That's I'm keeping my eyes on my goal here, and that's the high calling. That's ultimately heaven, and the goal of heaven, the goal of God, the heart of God, His people. You know, that's my vision. That's my goal. And then also in Psalm 112:7, this is a good one because I like to tie this in this way. 112:7, it talks about, in the King James Version, it says, my heart is fixed. My heart is fixed, trusting the Lord. Now, how do we see through faith? Or in the spirit world, we see through faith. I mean, when we look at something, you know, Dad was talking the other day, he says, there's a book or a message they taught him was, see it, say it, see it. You see it in the Word, see it in the spirit world, you know, spirit mind, your mind's eye there. And then you say it, you confess it, and then you'll see it in the natural. And we believe in our heart. That's where faith happens, right? So for us to see things by faith, it's something we see in essence with our heart. It's our heart has to be fixed on it. That's the faith. That's where the faith comes from. And when we fix our heart, our spiritual eyes on Him, on the prize, then we'll see it come to pass in the natural. We'll see it come to pass in our lives. In our lives. Amen. And I'll close with this. The last lines there in the song says, it takes a soldier who knows his orders to walk the walk that we're supposed to walk. And we've got, hey, do you know your orders? Do you know your assignments, your homework, you know? Do you know those orders? If we do, we will know what our ultimate goal is and what the heart of God is, and we can keep our eyes fixed on Him, on that prize. Amen.